السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we are discussing the verses of Surah Mu'minun, and now we have come on to the second or the fourth part of the ayat, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, who are those believers that have succeeded, have attained falah? What are their sifat? What are their attributes? What are their qualities? So besides the qualities that they possess, that they have humility in the salat, they have khushu in the salat, and that they shun all those things which are futile, useless, waste of good time and energy, and they are those people who give their zakat, and also the other meaning that they purify their souls from all the evil that comes into the hearts, whether it is malice or greed or pride or arrogance, envy or jealousy, then they make a purification of their hearts from all these type of evils. And then they protect and safeguard themselves from adultery or fornication. That is the meaning of it, that they protect their private parts, means they keep themselves secure and away from adultery and fornication. Last week I was explaining some of the harms of adultery, fornication, and I mentioned that the zina, the eyes commit zina by seeing, the ears commit zina by listening, the tongue commits zina by speaking, the lips commit zina by kissing, the hands commit zina by touching, the feet commit zina by walking. So all these are also parts of zina. When the person has cast a lustful glance at a woman, he has straightaway committed part of zina. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants us to live a life of purity, of cleanliness, of tahara, of body and soul in this world. He wants our life to be peaceful, and the lives of others also to be protected and peaceful. Now if we are going to indulge in zina with somebody else's daughter, with somebody else's wife, with somebody else's sister or aunt, then somebody else is going to do the same thing with our daughters, with our wives, with our sisters, with our aunts. So just as we will be very upset, and in fact we will fight, we may even take the life of the person if he is caught in the action, then in the same way we should think that when we are indulging in this sin, then we are doing the same thing to somebody else's daughter. As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told that sahabi, when he came and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, give me permission to commit zina. Now the sahabas got very angry that this young person, what a kind of permission he is asking for. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, let him come to me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him the same type of questions, that if somebody has to do that to your mother, would you be happy? If somebody has to do that to your aunt, would you be happy? To your daughter? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him the questions in a similar manner. And then Rasul-e-Pak said, well, whomsoever you are going to commit zina with, she too will be the mother of someone, she too will be the sister of someone, she too will be the daughter of someone, she will be the aunt of someone. And then Rasulullah took his hand Mubarak and placed it on the chest of this sahabi. Ha, how fortunate, how lucky these companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were, who received the heart, the Mubarak, receive the Mubarak hand of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on their chest, or any other tabarruk of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam placed his hand on the chest of this sahabi and he made dua for him. Allahumma, Allahumma khfir zamba. O Allah, forgive his sin. Wa tahhir qalba. And O Allah, purify his heart. Wa hassin farja. And O Allah, protect him from committing zina. The sahabi says that after that even the thought of zina didn't come in my mind. From this we learn that if a person cannot seem to get out of a sin, the muhaddiseen have deduced this. They said if a person cannot seem to get out from a sin, he is finding a weakness and a shortcoming in himself, then besides the effort that he makes, he must also ask for dua from those whom he, in his opinion, he considers to be pious, righteous, those who are the solaha, those who are the mashayikh, those who are the buzrugs, those who are the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then he must also ask them for dua, because that also has an effect. So he must make an effort to, and he must ask for dua. These two things combined, inshallah, this person will come out from that sin. So I was explaining to you some of the harms of this zina, some of the harms of adultery and fornication. Besides those which I've already mentioned, that large-scale deaths will take place, sicknesses and diseases of a kind which our grandfathers never even heard of. It'll be in epidemic proportion, as we, nobody is unaware of the extent that people are suffering from AIDS these days, and so many other sexually transmitted diseases. So this is a, so those are some of the things that I already mentioned. One more thing is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that that person's risk, the barakat of his risk will be taken away. Now everyone wants barakat in his risk. We all know that in these days, if a person is earning 50,000 rands a month, then too it is not enough. If he's earning 100,000 rands a month, then too say he says it's a shortfall. We know our cabinet ministers and our parliamentarians and others who earn top salaries, and so many executives. But what do they always complain of? There's not enough money to pay the bonds, there's not enough money to pay this, and there's not enough money to pay that. And yet when it comes to grant for pensioners, then they will say give them 500 rand and they must survive. But there's no such thing as sufficiency. And even in our lives, if we have to see that our grandparents, one old man used to work, running one business, one shop. He never even used to take his daughters and wives and granddaughters to the shops. This man used to work with one or two staff. And in that money that they used to earn, the children used to get education. They used to marry them. These people used to even go for Hajj. They used to go for Umrahs. They used to go and give money to the families in India, Pakistan. They used to contribute for Masajid, Madaris. And yet, what were the earnings? Those who know of what the cost of living was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, they know that just in that little earning, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala used to give them so much of barakat. Why? Because there was purity in their hearts. They used to make the namazes on time. There was no such thing as viewing of all the haram and evil that we indulge in these days. There was no television and movies and videos of the type that we have in these days. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan and fazl was on them that he protected them from that. In fact, there was so much of happiness and unity in the family's lives those days. 10 brothers, but you'll find they're united, they're living happily. It used to be like one unit, one family. And that little earning was sufficient for all the needs and requirements. Now these days, we, no matter how much we earn, but we say it is not sufficient. The cost of living and the salaries are not going running together. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes away that barakat. The person is watching zina all the time. The person is listening to those things which are considered to be an indulgence in zina listening. And the person is speaking those things. He's touching with his hands. He's indulging in all those kind of things. And then he's indulging in the actual zina. How much of actual zina is taking place? And then we say there's no barakat. Marana, there's no barakat. Give us some ta'weez for barakat. Brothers, I keep on repeating that ta'weezes will not bring that barakat. We are mistaken. If we say our business is collapsing, if we say that there's no barakat in the home, there's no unity in the family, there's no this, no that, and give ta'weez, it is not going to help. We have to look at the root cause. Don't just water the leaves and think that everything will turn green. We have to look at the root, that what is the problem there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person's barakat from the risk will be taken away. How many kings and rulers of the times, they had so much of pomp and glory, and so much of fortune was flowing into their palaces, and there was nothing there but music and entertainment and fun and pleasure, and dance and rejoicing. But afterwards what happened? Go to those palaces today. Go to those forts today. Go to Delhi and go and see those forts there. And go to Agra and see. And go to other parts of the world and see. What is in there? Nothing. People are walking in there and making ah, ooh, and listening to the echoing sound. That's about all. Where did it all go? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes away that barakat of that rizq. So much so that after giving the person sufficient time and space, when this person is not prepared to change and not prepared to turn towards Allah ta'ala, then he draws the carpet from beneath the person's feet. And then families which were at one time considered to be very, very prominent, and people who had great affluence, and those who had plenty of properties, then we hear that sooner or later there's nothing left. Nothing left of that fortune, everything gone. So look at the lifestyles of the children of those families. Look at the lifestyle of the directors of those companies. Look at the lifestyle of those who are the managers of those businesses. I'm talking about in the world in general. And you will find that this was the indulgence, because the more money comes, the more zina. The more money comes, the more zina. I always say that when the person had no money, so he couldn't even afford a small little black and white TV. When he gets a little extra wage, then first comes a small one, then a little bigger one. Then he gets tempted by those advertisements that you only have to pay 20 rands a month. So this person goes and buys the big one, and then his house becomes a cinema. He doesn't have to go to the cinema anymore. If he wants to watch the filth, he can watch it in his house. Then we say barakat is gone, blessing is gone, because what is barakat? Barakat is not that you have plentiful only. That is one way of barakat, that Allah Ta'ala increases the sustenance. That is one way of barakat. And the other way of barakat is the person has little, but Allah Ta'ala gives him satisfaction. It suffices for all his needs. His money is not ending up with the attorneys, and his money is not finishing up in all the haram places. The person's money becomes sufficient for all his needs. Allah Ta'ala provides for him from sources unknown to him. So this is one of the barakat. So by staying away from zina, we will be only helping ourselves. We are not going to benefit Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in any way. And what does a person get when he is deeply involved in this illicit love relationships? There's nothing but restlessness, restlessness. Meer duniya e fani mein kya shay mili, koi majnu mila, koi layla mili. What did you get in this dunya e fani? Somebody is majnu, somebody is layla. But afterwards, he says that nothing else they found, bekali, 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 bekali. Restlessness, restlessness. We are reading of it every day, we're listening to it every day. But shaitan and nafs are such that they will not allow us to come out of it. Because they will give us that false impression that you are enjoying life. So don't make a mistake, make the best of life whilst you have youth. But then when the person ends up with AIDS, then he begins to cry. Brothers, last year I think I mentioned in my majlis also, and this year also I mentioned, that hardly a week goes by when we don't get a phone call from two or three young people, or sometimes even elderly people, say, Maulana, please make dua. This is what happened. Especially the youth. How many parents are unaware that the young boys and young girls of 22, 18, 27, 35, and they are afflicted with AIDS? They are unaware, they don't know about it. Where did their children go? They are not even concerned. And this was not accidental. It's not one of those things where we sympathize with the person because we say that the person was accidentally affected. It was a baby in the stomach of the mother and the baby got affected. Or it was a young person and he used some injection needle or something and he got affected. It's not those cases. I'm talking of those people who are now regretting. They are saying, Maulana, please make dua for me. What must I read? I'm only 22, I'm only 23, I'm only 18, and I ended up with a prostitute, and I am now diagnosed as HIV positive. Ha, at that time, what must I tell you what comes through my heart? That this young flower of Islam, who could have been the Ghazali of the time, who could have been the Razi of the time, who could have been a great asset to the community, he would have been an accountant, a scientist, a philosopher, he could have been a doctor, but he does not know now how many years of his life is left. It's not yet full blown, so nobody even knows about it. It may be just a matter of time before it is going to be discovered. So my dear friends, I am not joking. It is no time for stories and jokes anymore. It is serious matter for your own protection. And for the protection of your children, restrain them from that haram. do away with that little pleasure that we get in watching that nude pictures on the TV screens. I'm not paranoid. I'm not gone off my head. It hurts when you see our little children, young boys, young girls, just for that little while of pleasure, and then now it's going to be permanent pain and disaster. So the barakat of the risk is taken away. So when a person finds his barakat of risk is gone, then first check his life. I don't say that television is the only problem. It is one of the problems and a major problem. But when you go to the doctors, they tell you that there could be other reasons. If a person has sugar, then they tell him it could be this, could be that, could be that. If a person has got high blood pressure, then he says it could be stress, could be this, could be that. Half a dozen different things they tell you. In the same way, we too must check our lives, that what are those things which are causing this loss of barakat in our lives, and loss of barakat in our earnings, and loss of barakat in our homes. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the barakat of that risk is taken away. Now this is something that should worry every person. Don't we have examples before us of how people, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, took away everything when they started indulging in this type of sins? And we don't know, then we want ta'weezes. Ta'weezes are not going to solve these problems. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in fact, in the tafsirs of the ayat, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا تُعْقَتَ لَنَا بِهِ. In that tafsir of that ayat, oh Allah, do not place a burden upon us more than that which we can bear. One of the tafsirs of that ayat is, by way of explanation, is this, that oh Allah, do not let passions overpower us to such an extent that we cannot bear, that we go and indulge in haram. Or in the tafsir of the ayat, وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. When the darkness of the, you are asking Allah Ta'ala for protection of from the darkness of the night, when that darkness of the night becomes gloomy, when it becomes very, very dark, the darkness spreads, and you are asking Allah Ta'ala to protect you from that, from the mischief of that darkness. Besides the other tafsirs, one of the tafsirs is this also, that when passions overpowers the person, then it is total darkness in his heart. He is completely lost. At that time he does not even remember that he is a hafiz of the Quran Sharif. He doesn't even remember that he is a haji sahab. He doesn't even remember that he is sitting in the khankas and making tabligh and zikr. Nothing, he forgets everything. He doesn't even remember that he is attending the majlises of the mashayikh and the buzrugs. And he doesn't remember that he gave so many days in the jamaat. At that time when his aqal, the darkness overpowers it, passions overpower it, then look at the life of that person. If he does not become shaitan, what else does he become? And I'm not telling you again stories. So restrain ourselves. That is one of the things he says, that we ask Allah Ta'ala for protection. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala, how he inspired him to make such du'as, that in the du'as also there was nothing but mu'jiza. Allah Ta'ala put this du'a just now into my mind. Wallah, it came just now into my mind. And for there must be a reason why it came just now. That look at one of the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Paak wasalam makes du'a. Allahumma inni a'uzu bika. O Allah, I seek protection in you. Min sharri sam'i. From the mischief of my ears. From the mischief of my ears. That means my ears must not listen to haram. I'm asking Allah for protection, that my ears must not listen to those things that are prohibited for me to listen to. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, do we think that he was going to listen to anything that was haram? But he knew that the time will come when it will be so difficult for the person to protect his ears from listening to haram. So he says, وَمِن شَرِّ سَمْحِ وَمِن شَرِّ بَصَرِ. Each one I can go on explaining, وَمِن شَرِّ بَصَرِ. And O Allah, from the mischief of my eyes. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his eyes was not going to commit any kind of mischief. But he knew that the time will come when it will be extremely difficult for the person to safeguard his sight and gaze from haram. There will be so much of nudity, so much of shameless women around, and there will be so much of haram gazing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us a dua, that make this dua, wa min sharri basari. O Allah, protect my eyes from its mischief. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَمِن شَرِّ قَلْبِي, from my heart, protect me, O Allah, from the mischief of my heart. There will be so much of fantasizing about haram. The person has had illicit love relationships. Now he can't be with that beloved all his life. He can't be there with her 24 hours. So whatever time he spent with her in haram, he spent. But now the rest of the time it's fantasizing about that haram. Even in his namaz, he's fantasizing about that haram. So much so that he's in sajda, his forehead is on the ground, and his heart is somewhere else. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَمِن شَرِّ قَلْبِي, O Allah, from the mischief of my heart also protect me. I ask your protection. And then what did he say? Go and ask the muftis and the maulanas in the hadith, what word comes there? وَمِن شَرِّ مَنِيِّ, and O Allah, from the mischief of my sperm. What a dua Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us. Now imagine 1400 years ago, more than that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, make this dua. Now we will think that what kind of a dua Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us. But if we have to look at it in the light of present day circumstances and conditions, where from every door somebody is inviting us towards zina, From every door that you pass in a street, there's nothing but invitation towards zina. And some streets are in fact filled from this end to the other end with nothing but cinemas and theatres. All our shopping complexes to these days, what is the major attraction of those shopping complexes for our youth? It's nothing but those cinemas, and they must just say that this picture contains plenty of nudity, therefore sensitive people must not enter. Then you will find the largest crowd in that place, clearly indicating that there's no such thing as sensitiveness left. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, وَمِن شَرِّ مَنِيِّ, O Allah, I seek protection in you. The meaning of that will be again the same thing. From the mischief of the money, here the money in Arabic means sperm. So what will that mean? It will mean that, O Allah, I seek protection in you, that I must go towards zina, I must go towards adultery, or I must go towards fornication. It's asking Allah for protection. Now if the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who was already protected, he was masoom and sinless, there was no question of even that kind of a thought coming into his mind, then for whom was he teaching that dua? So let us at least make that dua nowadays. And make that himmat and courage. It will take a little bit of pain in the first days or the few days to restrain. But create a fight with that illicit beloved of ours. Or tell her that I've got nothing to do with you. I want to please my Allah. I don't want to lose the barakat in my sustenance. I don't want to see those kind of diseases in my family life or in my home. I don't want to suffer those kind of consequences. And the best part of it is that those people who slept with those prostitutes, they, if you have to ask them now, then they will tell you, Maulana, we just don't know what overcame us. Then now when I think, he say, when I look back, so many of them, when I ask them that question, they say, Maulana, now when we look back, we just wonder that this woman who slept with 1,000 different people, how the hell did we ever go to such a woman? But you can see again how the aqal of the person is gone. 2/3 of the aqal is gone. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us hidayat. May Allah ta'ala protect us, our children, our families, and the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because if we are crying and complaining of the disasters in the world and the problems and difficulties and hardships, then it is actually our problem. We must see into our lives. Don't be fooled by our 5-time namazes and think that we have become walis of Allah ta'ala. Don't be fooled by that. But Allah is very, very merciful, very forgiving, very kind, very compassionate. I repeatedly say that don't lose hope. You do not know how many people it is just again by the same du'as and turning towards Allah ta'ala, they don't even know where that sickness disappeared. Wallah, I'm telling you, that it showed positive, and it showed positive for a period of time. 3-4 checks up and all showed positive. And then after reading certain things that I asked the person to read, and after asking him to make sincere tawbah, and pray to Allah Ta'ala and put his forehead in sajda and beg of Allah and shed some tears of repentance, after some time when the person goes for checkup, he says they can't find any sign of that positiveness. So there's nothing to lose hope again. If somebody during his youth days unfortunately got trapped in such a kind of situation, then turn towards Allah Ta'ala. Come back. Don't go on. And for the others who are not trapped, take a lesson from those who are trapped. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the entire ummah is facing, especially in Palestine, in Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, India, Pakistan, every way in the world. May Allah Ta'ala remove the calamities, the difficulties, and may Allah assist and help the Muslim ummah and once again restore the glory that they enjoyed in the days of the past. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.